It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along for the journey today as we are once again into another rousing discussion on the Sound Mind Show with Daniel Pryor.
How are you, Mark?
Hello, Mr. Pryor. Hey, this time, you know, you've always kind of reminded me, and people maybe sense that from the show, you're a very studious, intellectual guy, almost kind of like a professor. So you have a you seem very.
It's this coat I've got.
You got the coat. You have your glasses on, and which you forgot today.
Yeah, so we're gonna struggle a little bit here. Got the larger print.
But hey, this week the reason I say that obviously is where so many of us back to school, and you want to talk about getting ahead of the game for back to school at the home.
Yes, this is a timely topic. We kind of do this probably once a year, where back to school. During or after breaks and that sort of thing. Going back to school, as we were talking just kind of before we went on air here, going back to school in some ways can be a relief. Thinking about the stay-home, work-at-home parent, if it's a work-at-home mom or work-at-home dad, at least now you've got your office to yourself and the kids are out. But in some other ways, it's more stressful because all of that family interaction is compacted into just a few morning moments.
Got to make them count.
And the evening moments can be stressful if the kids, they have a lot of activities. That has to be taken into account. And then they've got homework. And for some families, like the one I grew up in, homework is a very stressful time. Some families don't struggle with that. They're blessed with, having kind of smooth waters there. But a lot of families struggle with that. And, kids wind up during the year, it either gets more burdensome, more chaotic. Some kids wind up on medication, and I want to address that just briefly. But how to get ahead of the game and how parents can say, getting the year off to a start and maybe having some principles set in place to make the year better. There aren't going to be any perfect years, and there aren't any perfect parents, and there aren't any perfect kids, and things go sideways. Unfortunately, we can't. Those things are in God's hands.
There's things we can do for all the ages, too. I mean, grade school kids back to school, maybe a little different vibe than the high school kids.
Yeah, and what I want to talk about is just some foundational things that will be good for the whole family. So we're talking about an environment in the household that's one of peace and confidence and, hope and respect and et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, this starts always with the parents, and it starts with the parents' relationship. And so that might be bad news for some families out of the gate, but that's the reality of it. You know, we cannot pass on to our children or expect them to incorporate things into their life that we don't have in our lives and that we're not modeling. And let's face it, when kids get older, they start to look, when I say older, I'm talking 11 or more, they're starting to look for the compromises and the contradictions and the hypocrisy in the parents, and then they start acting out on that. So moms and dads, we've got to do our very best, single moms, single dads. We've got to find a way to work on our lives and get ourselves, our kids are going to reflect our faults. So don't hit yourself over the head because of your faults, but find ways to do better. We want to model what we want in our home. And so as parents, we want to model unity. I've got that in big, bold, and underlined.
We're a team. We're a family. Really stressing that. That's very important. Yeah. Kids have a sense of they belong to this family.
And they need to see the parents in unity. Parents need to know how to resolve issues between themselves. And if you don't know, get some counseling. Go to someone who can help you to learn to communicate one with another. And modeling hope, modeling confidence, modeling joy. I see a lot of parents who are just have a sense of helplessness and hopelessness and discouragement and anxiety, and yet they want the kids to be hopeful and confident. It's just not going to work that way. You have to model what you want that child to have in their life. You can't pass on the values you wish you had. You can only pass on the values that you have. And so those are the things, understanding. You want to model understanding. You want our kids to be understanding. We have to model understanding. I want our kids to be patient. We have to model patience. You know, they've got their responsibilities at school, and they've got their trials at school. And, you know, when kids come home from school, a lot of times they'll report to the parents about, you know, the things that went sideways and the things that aren't quite right. And the parents will want to tell the kids, well, you know, you just have to be patient. You just have to, things like that happen in life. But then the kids look at how the parents are dealing with the issues in their own lives.
Right.
And that's what the kids are going to reflect. They're not going to do what you say. They're going to do what you do. It starts with the parents. And so I have down here, as parents, let's look at our own personal walk with the Lord. And you really need, don't you, a time of meditation and a time of devotion. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't have to be 15 or 20 minutes. You know, for 5 minutes is actually better than nothing. Actually, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and I said, how about start with 15 seconds? I mean, if you start with 15 seconds of just quietness before the Lord, and you find out that that's actually rewarding, maybe later in the day you say, gee, that only took 15 seconds. I can do that again. I got 15 seconds right now. I'll just do it again. So rather than set lofty goals and, you know, get up early and study the Bible for 30 minutes and then pray for 30 minutes, if you're not going to meet that goal, set something that you are going to meet, but do something. You've got to have some time where you start getting in the habit of having, of knowing the presence of God in your, I would say your morning is so important. Mm. You know, some people say, well, I'm not a morning person, but we can cut out 15 seconds. You can cut out 15 seconds in the morning.
What about any kind of personal family devotions? I mean, that's maybe a different subject, but is it important maybe to have a pray for your child, pray with your child as they head off to school, maybe share a Bible verse?
I think that's a great thing. And again, it doesn't have to be a long prayer, but it should be sincere. It should be, you know, as parents, maybe we don't sometimes spend as much time knowing our children well enough to know that, well, what if I was going to pray for, you know, Tommy or Johnny or Susie or, you know, before they went to school, what would I pray? Do I know that child well enough? And, you know, a lot of that comes back to if we as parents are diligent in praying for each child when we have those opportunities, then it's not going to be so difficult to know how to pray for them in the 5 seconds before they head out to school. Mm. And even if it's not a thing where I think it could be important for them to hear us pray. As they get older, they're probably not going to want us to pray with them for anything like 5 minutes.
Yeah, having a big prayer before they head off on the bus or whatever.
But just something that's sincere and just some kind of a blessing for, and, you know, I love you, God loves you, you know, take the Lord with you today, or the Lord's with you today, something like that, so that kids get the idea that this is not just something that mom and dad have us do on Sunday, but this is something that mom and dad actually walk in. Mm. And of course, it has to mean something to the parent. It can't be just, right, you know,
just like a religious exercise,
like a sprinkling before they go out. It's got to be something that the parents do. Mm-hmm. We've talked about the love triad on the show, and that is between parents, trusting one another. I trust her with me. She trusts me with herself. Forgiveness, giving and receiving, and communion in that. So the parents are working on their own personal relationship, again, modeling unity. And another thing that, that's important because those are the values that you're going to pass on with your children. That's what's going to be in the drinking water. You may not be explicitly teaching these things, trust and forgiveness and communion with your children, but if you have it implicitly, it's going to be very powerful in their lives. So you need to be working on those things. And then we've also talked about communication tools. That we should use. And first it starts again with the parents, and this is so absolutely fundamental, because if it doesn't matter, all of our good intentions go to naught if we can't communicate them in respectful ways. We want to be able to communicate with our kids in these ways, and the kids communicate back. But again, it starts again with the parents. And I see so many couples that have issues that need to be resolved, but they simply can't resolve those issues.
Between the couple.
Between the parents.
And that models for the
child. Can't resolve those issues because they don't know how to talk to one another, or they refuse to talk to one another in respectful ways. So we've talked about the communication tools, your tone of voice, the words you use, your body language and your facial expression and timing, those five tools, those have to be honed and perfected. The parents have to be working on that between the two of them so that the parents, so that the children see the unity. They see parents who are resolving issues and not fighting. And then when we go to teach those to our children, they accept it and they don't see it as a contradiction. And when we're communicating with our kids, we're using the same tools and teaching them the same tools. Watch your tone of voice and watch the words you use, even with one another. Watch your body language and those kinds of things. Learning to communicate in such a way that it's a clear communication and not just, as we've talked before, about defense mechanisms. So when we're parents talking to our children, we need to guard our hearts and guard our tones. Be respectful, be patient. Again, model all the things that you want your child to have in his or her life. That has to be modeled for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing that really also just jumps out at me here is the sense of unity being mm-hmm. so important. The kids need to know that when they go off, just like we do, I think, in a mm-hmm. sense, go off into the cold, cruel world, we come home and it's a refuge. Mm-hmm. It's right. A place where I belong. I have a role. Mm-hmm. So these are things that need to be stressed, mm-hmm. yeah. and kids really need to have that confidence. I think that's what gives the kids a lot of confidence, is to know mm-hmm. they're part of a family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it may not seem as important when they get older, but of course, by that time, hopefully, we've laid that foundation. But it's always important. I can recall as a young teenager having struggles at school, and I can remember one time, only one time, when my dad said to me, just kind of looked at me, and it was sincere. I mean, I think he often asked me what the problem was, but it was rhetorical. But this was a sincere question, and he wanted to know, what's the problem? What's going on? Why are you so upset all the time? And I didn't really have an answer for him, and I think parents should be aware of the fact that the kids really don't know why they're frustrated. There's a lot of thing with, the older kids going through puberty and that. There's a lot of hormonal stuff.
They don't know.
And
testosterone. They don't know,
yeah. going on. But what's important is that you're sincere. And as you say, they come home and there's a refuge there. And they feel like, even though they may not know what to express to mom and dad, they know that they can express and that they're of value.
It's a
and
safe that's place important. To be themselves
yeah.
and to talk.
So that calls on the parents to have the time and be patient with the kids. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we head back to school, perhaps you're dreading this. You're already having maybe some problems. You're seeing some things on the horizon. You need some help with your family. I know, Daniel, you do family counsel. Sometimes you've counseled young mm-hmm. people as well. Of course, marriage, that's what you're really trying to emphasize here, is that mom and dad need to be getting along well. If people need help, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can call me at 425-778-6169. And people also email me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
And more details at KCISRadio.com. We'll be back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland, and we're heading back to school, and we want to stay ahead of the game this week on the Sound Mind broadcast. Daniel, you've been talking about how important it is for, of course, the parents to have their act together, be working on their relationship with each other and with the Lord, because that, again, fosters a sense of safety in the home and unity. And one thing, before we get into some of this, the rest of this here, I wanted to bring up the subject right away of the absent parent. The kid comes home and parents aren't there because they have to work or for whatever reason. I was saying my wife was the stereotypical latchkey kid. She'd come home. She had the key, the yarn with the key on it. That was her necklace as a young kid. She'd come home to an empty home. And when is it okay? Like, what would you say is an What should parents be? How concerned should parents be about the empty home when they are home?
Well, of course, you can't parent if you're not there, and so I would address this issue very much like I would address a marriage situation where, for some reason, the couple are separated for a period of time or for long periods of time during the day. Maybe, you know, for a temporary situation, one's working the day shift and one's working the night shift, and you know you can't just like couples can't be. Can't spend time together when they're in different parts of the city, and you can't parent when you're not with your kids. But what that does is it puts a weight on the times that you are with your kids, because even though some of these kids, if they're old enough to come home by themselves and be on their own, they're still not ready. Their needs still aren't being met. They still need love and nurturing from the parent. Of course, you know, that changes as kids get older. When it's a small kid, you want them on your lap and you can hug. When he's 16 years old, you don't do that anymore. But they still need the nurturing. And they still need to know, even though they're pulling away sometimes when they start to get older and they're wanting to distance, they still, deep down inside, need to know that they're of value, and they need to know what their values are. So as parents, we need to be really before God with each child and get to know, not only know that child, but get to know the child in prayer. What are the needs that that child has that I pray about? And this causes us to really focus on the child and really know the child more intimately. In ways that we would take the child before God. So if these kids are coming home and now they're on their own, this is a time that I can't be with them. So I have to maximize the times that I am with them, and I have to be showing my appreciation and having them open about what their needs are. And again, as we said in the previous section, maybe they don't know what their needs are, but they need to be valued. Certainly, they need to. There are things going on in their life that maybe it might be difficult for them to express. So, since I'm not with them during that time when they're home on their own, then when I am home, there needs to be a certain period of time when I really commit that time to that child. Mm.
So they have to work almost kind of work overtime to really communicate that, because I mean, from my own life, again, I came home or I was at the babysitter right away and I don't know, somehow that communicated to me that I wasn't as important as whatever the parents were doing, and it wasn't necessarily working. It was out playing golf or something, you know. So so you're saying then parents need to really communicate that even though you've got to be at the babysitter right now, or you have to go to this after school program for a while because I have to work, then they're going to have to work, just expect they're going to have to work more to make sure that the kid knows they're valuable.
Again, it's, you see the same thing in the marriage marriage relationship where couples can't spend, somebody's working very long hours and maybe that's the way the job is. So, but nevertheless, it's imperative that they chisel out some time where they give their relationship a chance. And that could mean no more TV or whatever. There's going to have to be sacrifices made because you have to make a priority out of that relationship. Same with parents and children. And I think when the children sometimes start acting more mature, the parents maybe too soon take their hands off and they forget that there are still needs there. Mm. There's a lot that's not being expressed. So they need to set time. And as you say, work overtime sometimes. They need to set time.
I think it's just understood. And if you don't, you're going to have some
pay
consequences.
For it. Mm-hmm,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are obviously flaws, setbacks. Mm-hmm. We make mistakes. So how do we deal with that?
Yeah. And so I have that. You know, you got to expect flaws, setbacks, miscommunications. You got to expect some resistance. As kids grow up, they're trying to figure out who they are. And that may get in our way as parents sometimes, but that's, that's our responsibility for a period of time. And we've sort of lost the art of parenting. And so a lot of these kids, some parents are little too quick to take kids in to get to maybe check on some medication.
They're something wrong with
irritable.
The child as opposed to something wrong with what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or something wrong with the child as opposed to, well, that's just the way life can be sometimes. Mm. And we want our lives smooth. We want, when our kids come home from school, we want things smooth. And if they're not, we sort of reach out for a quick fix. But, you know, sometimes parenting is just tough, and you just have to sit back and maybe mark the calendar and say, this is going to go on for this period of time, because that's the stage that my child is in, and they want to be valued through that. and not sometimes be treated as though, you know, if you're acting that way, there must be something wrong with you. Let's take
you must
in
have ADHD,
which is way
overdiagnosed.
It is, and parents should be careful with that. You know, I doubt that I know very many parents that would put their kids on cocaine.
Right.
But that's what Ritalin is. It's cocaine.
Yeah.
And so that's what these medications are, you know. So it's not warranted nearly enough, as it's prescribed sometimes. So parenting can be tough. And sometimes we just, as I say, have to mark the calendar and say, you know, I told parents, well, your kid's 13. You're going to probably be looking at this till they're maybe 17. I mean, it can improve, but let's face it. These are the years that parenting that are very challenging. Parents need to be aware of the education, be aware and educated on the issues that their kids face at school. And there's
very
a truckload of them
very
nowadays.
Very different now,
In our next week, we're going to be talking about self-harm and some of the tattooing and piercing that kids are getting more into. But there's also the homosexual issues, and those are going to be – there's going to be pressure put on Christians and Christian kids to, you know, either step in line and walk with the secular world or else suffer persecution. How are we going to handle that as parents with our kids? It's going to reflect the way that we handle it, how we model that for our kids. But parents should be educated. We shouldn't be sending our kids to school or even Sunday school without having some knowledge of what's going on in that environment so that we can let the kids process that with us.
The whole issue of the social media and the technology that is invading kids and adults' lives now, that's a big part of that's quite different and brings a lot more pressure, a lot more comparison. Is there an age that you would recommend for a kid to have maybe a smartphone or maybe not to have a smartphone? What do you think?
I would just say hold off as long as you can.
As long as you can.
again, there's peer pressure. But here's the key. There's peer pressure, and to the degree that the kids are lacking something in my home in terms of their of being valued and having meaning in the home, they're going to be looking for that outside. Now, all kids want to be a part of their genre, their group.
Sure.
And so you can't do away with that. I'm not, this is not crazy talk. This is not saying, if you're perfect mom and dad, your kids won't ever want to be like anybody else. That's nonsense. Of course they're going to want to be like their group. But there's it's by degrees. Kids that are not getting something at home are going to be reaching out for it in some other way. So there's always the strong-willed child and all the things that Dobson's written about. But the principle is that if I can work harder on supplying at home, just spending time and showing the child that they're valued at home, I'm going to struggle less with them needing to prove that with their peer group in their genre.
Yeah, if kids sense of value in their home, that they are valued, then they're of great worth. They're not going to seek it elsewhere.
Yeah, they're going to be less inclined. Mm-hmm. There will always be, that curiosity of, how am I valued with my peers? But it'll be less necessary for them to take chances. You know, our daughter, when she got into high school, she wanted earrings, pierced ears. And so, okay, we did that. And then she wanted like a second earring on one of the ears. Yeah, we kind of balked at that. But then we put the foot down. Okay, that's one. And she really so that was like senior year. Okay, you can have one more. And then she was out and on her own. And eventually she got a tiny little tattoo on her shoulder where you can't see it unless she's in a bathing suit or something. And my wife even showed some disapproval on that. And daughter got teary-eyed. But, you can't keep kids from wanting to be part of their group. But she, you can keep them from going overboard if they've got that value at home. Parents need to be the heroes. Yeah. So they need to be educated, and they need to be involved in these things and processing with their kids. Kids need help piecing life together. So parents need to be students of life, and they need to study their kids. And how does mom's life make sense? And how do mom and dad deal with disappointment? And where's God in their life? How's God in this whole picture? Those are the things that parents have to be students of and to model for their kids.
That's how you stay ahead of the game as we head back to school. Kids need to have a sense. I think most important takeaway, again, is I belong to this family. This family thinks I'm important. And that does so much to get them on the right track.
Yeah, that's right.
People, though, are struggling with some family issues, whether marital or with their children. You do great coaching and counseling. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
You can call me at 425-778-6169. That's 778-6169. Or people also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
And your locations again?
I have one in Kirkland and Edmonds.
Kirkland and Edmonds. Right. Yeah. Okay, so Daniel is open for helping you anytime particularly as we head maybe into the school year, get the school year started off great with your family. More details as well at kcisradio.com. You've been listening to Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.